Well, we're so happy you could all join us today, the 21st of December. It's hard to believe that this year is going to be ending quickly, more quickly than we probably ever thought it would. And we're on our newsworthy clip article today, and for the next couple of days, we hope you can join us. And I have a couple of pretty interesting panelists with us that, are you guys experts in this area? We're going to be talking about fitness today. I know one of them is...
Well, I can't say I'm an expert, but I take an interest.
And this is?
I am Linda. Yes. Hello, everyone.
And Simon?
I think it depends on what you mean by expert. Yeah, I'm Simon. It's great to be back on Advanced Radio.
And I'm also Linda, and it's very nice to be with you all again. And if you had your Studio Classroom Advanced magazine with you, you could open it to page 34 to the Newsworthy Clips section of your magazine. And if you have your mobile device or your one of your pads with you, you can find it there. And today we're going to be talking about something that not tracks what you do for fitness, but what the environment does. And perhaps how it affects us as we're outside or even inside thinking about getting more healthy. Like Linda, she bikes everywhere she goes. That's why I said she was an expert in fitness. So we're going to be looking at something called an EnviroTracker. And we'll see that it doesn't necessarily track like a Fitbit, like what we do or how many stairs we walk up, but it tracks what you're actually going to be running into when you go outside. So before we start talking about it, why don't we do the reading, page 34 again, and let's read the left-hand column.
Put down the Fitbit. This new EnviroTracker does more than count steps. There are a lot of things you take into account when planning your running route. The views, how far you're planning on hitting pavement, and perhaps hills. But have you ever thought about the air quality? A new wearable EnviroTracker called TZOA, pronounced ZOA, uses internal sensors to measure air quality, temperature, humidity, atmospheric pressure, ambient light, and UV, sun, exposure. By connecting the device to a smartphone, you can view your readings and receive recommendations. The goal? To help users seek out less polluted outdoor areas, whether it's for a healthier walk, run, or less polluted picnic spot.
Well, we see in our title here that it's telling us to put down the Fitbit. Do either one of you have a Fitbit?
No, I do not.
How about you, Simon?
I don't believe in Fitbits.
I'm sorry. I have one. Actually, I thought, for those of you who don't know what a Fitbit is, can you describe it?
It's basically a piece of technology that you wear that keeps track of what's happening with your body. So, for example, it keeps track of things like how many steps you take and how long you've been inactive or active. Doesn't do that?
It counts the number of steps you take, and it counts the number of stairs that you take.
It doesn't track sleep and stuff?
Not the Fitbit. Fitbit doesn't. It comes, you can either clip it on or you can wear it as a bracelet. It also... tells you how many calories you've burned and how many miles you've walked.
Fitbit seems a little low-tech. My wife wears one that tells you, you know, how long you've slept.
There are other ones that do
what
that.
What kind of sleep you've had and, like, how long it's been since you've moved enough and when you have to stand up. Tracks everything.
So it looks like a watch, right?
Some of them look like a watch. Mine is actually about maybe 2 inches, not even two. 2 inches long, and it clips on.
Oh, okay.
So I usually wear mine like on my pocket or something like that.
Do you wear it every day?
Notice I use past tense.
So
I used to.
You've put down the Fitbit.
Well, I do.
Just like here.
I do remember when I remember to put it on now. Actually, my husband is the one that got it for me, and he wore his for about a year. So when he started walking for exercise, and he could figure out from that, after he'd worn it, you know, how long he had to walk in order to come to his 10,000 steps that he was trying to take every day.
So I guess the point then is that these various technologies that trace what's happening with your body, they do a lot of things, but they might not do everything. Because as we move into the article, it says there are a lot of things you take into account when planning your running route.
Right. And some of them are, well, I never thought about the view I was going to have, but it does say you take that into account. Do you take that into account when you go biking?
I do. I would like to bike somewhere that's scenic rather than just, you know, a road with lots of cars and traffic. So I do take it into account.
I don't like to walk on a road with lots of cars, but it's not my first criteria.
I like different views, so I try not to go the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think variety is good.
Yeah.
And everything we do, obviously, also in running. Mm-hmm. And also, how far you're planning on hitting pavement. That's kind of an interesting phrase, hitting pavement.
Yeah. Well, when you're hitting the pavement, really, it just means how far you're planning to run. And obviously, you don't want to run and end up in the middle of nowhere. So you have to sort of have a plan.
Okay.
How to get back.
And hitting pavement means walking outside. Or, you know, it's kind of a phrase that we use. And maybe hills. Okay, because you want to have incline when you're exercising, whether you're a runner or whether you're a walker.
Or rider.
Or maybe
or
you
a
don't.
Bike rider.
Yeah. Maybe you don't want the hills.
Hills are an important, something that you want to think about if you're riding.
Right, and if you're walking, because it raises your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
But the question we have here is, have you ever thought about the air quality? Have you ever thought about the air quality when you go biking before you read the article?
Yeah, I have. And also living in Asia, it's a topic that is more of an interest, more than when I was living in the States, because air pollution is such a problem here, especially when I was in China. So it is something that we need to take into consideration. Right now, I don't think about it as much. Just try to avoid areas that are really congested or that have a lot of traffic.
Okay, because of the pollution,
right.
Car pollution. How about you, Simon?
I think it probably should be a bigger concern for people than it is, but I don't really think about it too often, mostly because I don't really have a choice when I'm moving from one place to another. Have to get there, so.
And you ride a scooter as well.
Yeah, when you ride a scooter, or even if you're bicycling or whatever, I mean, you're going to have to be outside for a set amount of time to get to the place you need to go, so there's nothing you can really do about it.
But this one is not really talking. Well, I guess you can. If you're concerned about it, you can wear this on your daily commute or when you're out and about, not just exercising. And there's something new on the market. It's called a wearable Enviro tracker. It's called the ZOA. And it uses internal sensors, and it measures quite a few different things, according to Simon, much more than the Fitbit measures for.
Yeah, I'll admit, I was kind of disappointed to hear that the Fitbit was so limited, especially after that technology bracelet my wife wears. Which, you know, I mean, it can go underwater and tell you how far you've swum, and the Fitbit, disappointing. But this ZOA does have a lot of different things it tracks, and they give us a list of things here. The internal sensors, which of course are digital sensors, and a sensor is something that measures something. And so it measures a number of things. It measures air quality, it measures temperature, humidity, atmospheric pressure, ambient light, and UV exposure. So all kinds of different environmental criteria. Linda has already mentioned why she cares about air quality. I think it's pretty obvious why people might care about temperature when they're going outside. But how about humidity? Why do you think people are concerned about humidity when planning a run?
Well, when it's hot, the humidity can contribute to your body temperature, and you get hotter, faster, and tired more easily.
Mm-hmm. I thought atmospheric pressure was also interesting because, I mean, that basically tells you if it's going to rain or not when you're running, right? Sometimes we call this the device that measures atmospheric pressure. We call it a barometer, mm-hmm. instead of a thermometer, which measures temperature. So a barometer gives you the atmospheric pressure, and you know what the weather's going to be like.
Yeah.
If there's a storm coming or rain coming, things like that.
That would be good to know, to predict the weather.
Yeah. How should you dress for your run?
Or what time to end your run or your ride. But I think the last one there, measuring the UV or sun exposure would be helpful, because we're, especially here in Asia, people are very concerned where the sun is stronger about how much UV exposure they're getting and maybe how dark you'll get from the sun exposure.
Right. So this actually is totally different than a fitness predictor or a fitness tracker. This really is tracking our environment and the kind of conditions that you're going to be exercising in. And it tells you, it measures all of these things, and then you can connect it to your smartphone, and then you can look at your readings and receive recommendations. I thought that was pretty interesting, that it actually recommends if you should go out and exercise.
Right, and I was reading up a little bit more on this, and it will also suggest if you should open a window, you know, if you should go outside, things like that.
To be honest, I feel like with the emergence of this sort of technology, I feel a little bit like I'm in one of those movies that's set in an environment after a nuclear war where people are like afraid to go outside and stuff. But I suppose I should stop giggling and realize that the environment can be pretty bad in a lot of these cities, and it's a real concern for people.
Right. And the goal of this is actually to help people, you know, go out when it's less polluted, go to a less polluted outdoor area, whether you're walking, running, or whatever you're doing outdoors. It's really meant to help you judge how much pollution you want to be surrounded by when you're outside.
Exactly. And when you exercise, you know, you're breathing more heavily, and so it's, you absorb more of the pollutants in the air.
Right. And we're going to be talking about that after we do our next reading. So why don't we do that right now? If you have your magazine open, we're going to continue with the reading in the second column on page 34.
A welcomed addition to the many sports wearables on the market? You bet. Just last year, the World Health Organization, WHO, reported that air pollution deaths had reached a new all-time high, making outdoor and indoor air pollution the world's single largest preventable health risk. Outdoor air pollution, mostly caused by gas-powered cars and burning coal, accounted for 3.7 million of the 7 million pollution deaths in 2012. ZOA measures different sizes of particulate matter, PM, in the air, ranging from pollen, dust, asbestos, and mold, to smaller, respirable particles like vehicle exhaust and wood smoke. ZOA is currently in pre-order mode on the company's website. In the meantime, national recommendations include checking the Air Quality Index, AQI, which not only measures particle pollution, but also sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, ground-level ozone, and carbon monoxide before heading outdoors.
So we see that we're talking about really pollution and what's happening in the world, and this has come about because the World Health Organization, or WHO, reported that air pollution deaths reached an all-time high, which is kind of, and that's both outdoors and indoor air pollution. So if we're concerned about our living environment inside as well as outside, then this device might be of great interest to you.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Simon mentioned earlier that he hasn't really thought about, you know, the environment when he exercises, or, you know, even a device like this. But for some people, they have to think about it every day. For example, in Beijing, people are constantly, daily check the AQI, you know, to see what kind of, you know, day it's going to be. And that determines if they take their kids out, you know, mm-hmm. or, well, I suppose they might wear a mask every day, but, you know, to make sure that they have their mask or whatever methods that they'd use to limit the amount of pollution that they breathe in.
One wonders, though, if this sort of device is getting into the hands of the people who really need it or can make use of it. So, for example, we did an article a few years ago in Studio Classroom, I think, on rocket stoves.
Mm-hmm.
Remember rocket stoves?
I thought of that when I read this.
They're super efficient stoves that only use very little bit of wood, because one of the leading causes of illness and death for particularly women and children in developing countries is like breathing bad air from cooking stoves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're running like a cooking fire all day and things like that. And that's, I guess, what they mean here by indoor air pollution, or at least one form of it.
It is exactly what they mean. I was checking on this, and if you look at the statistic at the end of the paragraph, it says that the outdoor air pollution, which is by comes mostly by gas-powered cars and burning coal, is accounted for 3.7 million of the 7 million pollution deaths in 2012. But the rest came from indoor cooking with coal and wood in Asia. And if you've been to, like when I was in Myanmar, that's what everybody cooked with. Everybody was cooking with coal.
Yeah, the big problem there, though, is that even if people know the air quality is poor, there's not very much they can do about it.
Right.
There aren't other alternatives for fuel sources and things like that.
That's why the rocket stove was such a, you know, was such a great invention.
Yeah, that's right. But I suppose for the 3.7 million who here are being affected basically by environmental air pollution, industrial sources and automobiles and things like that, then maybe those 3.7 million who are potentially going to die can maybe do something about it, make different choices, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we were talking about it earlier, too, is, you know, when you go biking, Linda, you don't like to go in congested areas. They're, you know, gas-powered cars, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And also, well, and burning coal is a big problem in some areas, especially in wintertime.
Okay. I haven't been exposed to that, but it's good to know.
That's probably, yeah, that's not one of your considerations in the areas that you go. But for a lot of people in some cities, major cities, coal burning is a major issue, especially in the wintertime for heating.
Right.
Besides cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also it measures different sizes of particulate matter in the air. So this is a specialized term, particulate matter. Particulate. Okay,
yeah,
not particular. Particulate matter.
It basically means chunks of things flying in the air, except they're not really as big as chunks. It's
right.
Just sort of different pollutants that are bigger than normal air particles. And so,
well, they can be very fine as well.
They could be. Things like smoke, for example. They mention here pollen, dust, asbestos, and mold as big ones. Asbestos, of course, is something that was used as insulation for many years. It's still pretty common in a lot of places, especially here in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a gray-colored spray insulation that's a very, very effective insulation. But if you breathe it in, it causes all kinds of horrible things.
Yep. And that would be an example of indoor pollution that you would want to monitor.
Mm-hmm. And mold.
Okay.
I think with the amount of rain we get in this area, especially in Taipei, there's a lot of mold that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you need to be very, very careful. That's another example of indoor pollution.
Right. And the particulate matter, PM, they usually, when they talk about it, divide it into two sizes, PM10 and PM2.5. And the PM2.5 is the dangerous kind, because that's the really fine particles that can lodge deep into our lungs and affect our respiratory systems.
Right, and as you said, when you are outside and you're exercising, your lungs are working harder, you're breathing in deeper, so you're taking all that particulate matter deeper into your lungs, and it's getting embedded in there.
Exactly.
Causing major health problems.
Yeah, and we have mentioned again here, of course, of the wood smoke we've been talking about with people cooking. That's just smoke from a fire burning wood. And, well, we don't think about that so much in the developed world. It's a very common way for people to cook and keep their homes warm in the developing world. And so it's a big issue for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And usually we think about it as in Africa, but so that's why I was quite surprised to see the statistics coming out of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Because it said that that for this cooking with coal and wood, the problem area was Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's talking about more towards Central Asia, like I said before, like Myanmar and countries like that.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah. People burn a lot of charcoal, too, which is also not a very clean burn. Lots of smoke from that.
Right. So these things are pretty necessary to take into consideration depending upon the kind of exercise you're going to be doing outside. And even if you're living inside, you know, and you have this kind of situation, you need to be very careful. It also says, now this device is currently in pre-order mode on the company's website, which is kind of interesting. This is a project that was started by Kickstarter, which I think that Advanced has run some articles on Kickstarter in the past. And if you donate to Kickstarter, they will actually, for this project, they will actually give you one.
Oh, okay.
It's like I read two different prices, so it said $139 if you donate that much to Kickstarter. But then another one said the prototype is out and you can buy it off of Kickstarter for $99. But if you're going to get this, you have to be careful about and remember that you know what you're ordering, because this device, you clip it on something like your backpack or your jacket or something, and you have to read it off of your smartphone. So it has nothing to do with like tracking your steps, tracking your sleep, tracking your stairs that you walk up. It's an environmental tracker, not a tracker for yourself personally for what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we said that it's in pre-order mode on the company's website, and then it also says the national recommendations include checking the air quality index, which you referred to earlier, Linda, the AQI. And this not only measures particular pollution, particle pollution, but sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, ozone, carbon monoxide before you go outdoors. These are all the kinds of things that you can read.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's take a look at what actually this is, the air quality index. On this page also you'll see that there are six categories that I don't know if all of our readers are really aware of what all of these mean. So why don't we take a look at them? What's the first one? If it shows green, what's the deal, Simon?
Well, I guess first the air quality index isn't like actually a number. It's
a range.
They measure a bunch of things and then they decide what level the air quality is at. So it's a scale for measuring the air quality.
Right.
And so we're basically going to go through here the six different levels in this index. And the first one is green. And so when the air quality index is at green, it means there's a low amount of pollution. The air is pretty clear.
So we can go out and exercise with our minds at ease.
Yeah.
Right. And that range, just like Simon said, like a number is given to represent the air quality index, and that would be 0 to 50.
Okay. Is that particles in the atmosphere?
No, that's just the number that they give to the as the AQI.
They sort of plug all of these readings of these different things into a formula, and then they get like a number.
Yeah.
To decide what level it's at.
Okay, so that's 1 through 50.
The second level then is yellow, and it says only very sensitive individuals should have a moderate concern. So if you're very sensitive, you have problems like asthma maybe, or, I don't know, very serious like allergies, sort of irritable lungs, have difficulty breathing, you might be a little bit concerned. Moderate concern means just kind of thinking about it, not really too worried.
And what's the index for this?
That is 51 to 100.
That's what I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go up the scale here.
Yeah.
And then what's the next one?
Well, the third level is orange. And at orange, the general public is fine. But older adults, children, and those with lung and heart disease should be careful.
Okay, and I assume that's up to 150.
Yeah, 101 to 150, yeah.
Okay.
And that category is also referred as sensitive, yeah. So those, like the older adults, children, they fall under that sensitive category, or people with heart and lung problems.
Okay.
Okay, and once we get into the fourth level, which is red, everyone is at risk for adverse health effects or negative health effects. Everyone can have problems.
Right, and that is the unhealthy level, 151 to 200.
Okay, that makes sense.
The fifth level is purple, and since purple is a greater risk than red, everyone is at risk for serious health effects, and it triggers a health alert warning.
That's very unhealthy.
Yeah. So the public health department will say, be careful about air quality today.
Stay inside.
Yeah. And the highest level is maroon, which some of our listeners will know is a beautiful mixture of red and purple, right? And everyone is probably affected, triggering a health warning. And so again, the Public Health Bureau will say, be careful about doing too much outside today.
Right. Probably definitely want to stay in that day. And that category is hazardous.
Oh, yes. I think we've had some hazardous days as sand has been blowing over. It's not today, but, you know, at certain times of the year in the past, we've had a couple of hazardous days.
Really? Wow.
Okay. Well, if you are interested in this, you should check out the Enviro Tracker and be aware of the environment around you as you're exercising. And be sure and join us tomorrow. We have another newsworthy clip on a different subject for you, so we'll see you then. Bye for now.
Bye.